Good morning and welcome to Morning Magazine. This is Michael Klisch, our first guest this morning. From the Fort Atkinson School District, we have the president of the school board. It is president, not chair or something
like
that.
It is president.
Czar. I don't know what's
not
president.
Czar.
Okay,
not
Scott
czar.
Johnson. We have the superintendent of schools, Dr. James Fitzpatrick.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
And we have the business manager. Is that Jason? Is that what they...
Yep,
they,
I'll take that.
Okay, you got it.
Good morning.
All right, good morning. Couple things we wanted to talk about. First off, you signed a budget. Contract.
Yeah. What happened, Mike, is we had our support staff, we had an ongoing bargain with them for quite a while here for the 2009-11 or 2010 through 2012 contract. Mm-hmm. And that had been ongoing. And we came to an agreement last week, and it was approved Thursday. And then
a lot of districts did that last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then our teachers, they came to us wanting to look at the possibility of an extension, and we got together with the board, and like a lot of districts, we did enter into an extension agreement with them.
It was something, you know, they brought to us, much like our ongoing contract was with our other group. They brought us something that was beneficial to the taxpayer and above and beyond what the law was going to require. And so from a voluntary standpoint, it just seemed to behoove us to act in a positive manner and accept their offer. It helps us in the long term as far as, you know, our budgetary concerns.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a key piece, Mike. In the school district of Fort Atkinson, I think we are blessed with a lot of people who are more than willing to collaborate and work. They see the greatness of our learning community and what we have to offer for students and the community and in maintaining a great learning community. And they see the fiscal landscape and what we've been dealt with of late. And I think everybody's working hard and working together on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe the question is why rush this through? And from the employee standpoint, you know, it's stability for next school year, that all of our contracts will be lined up through June 30th, 2012. But for the district, you know, obviously I think everybody knows that there's still things going on in Madison with the current law. I mean,
I've heard.
It's you know, it's not yet to be published and not yet to be effective. Mm-hmm. And should, you know, things turn around, everybody knows there's going to be recall elections and legal challenges. And should things turn around and collective bargaining stays as is,
this may be the biggest year in Wisconsin political history.
Yeah. And should things stay as is and with collective bargaining, then, you know, we have a contract that both parties agreed to that is, you know, essentially what the law is, and even a little more than that. So,
mm-hmm. And insurance administrators.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. First of all, let me just share that in terms of all the listeners, we did in those agreements receive contributions of 50% of pensions from our teachers and our support staff, and
which is a significant contribution.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a very significant contribution, along with the health care. They had been paying 10%, and they had agreed to pay 12.6. So those concessions came through. Like our AFSCME group, okay, which had an agreement prior to the repair bill coming in, and of course the repair bill cannot impede an agreement
current contract
in place. So too the administrators have had one in place. So I think your question is will administrators pay insurance and share with the pension? And let me just share this with you. As the board's aware, I certainly I as the leader of the district certainly have already conceded that indeed I didn't want to have them ask. I offered to. However, I think what's happened is things have moved so fast that I think our administrators, they weren't they weren't as involved, you know, given the fact that they're running their buildings, they weren't as involved with the negotiations as Jason and I were as things came through. And things have happened pretty fast for them. And just as the teachers and the FEST group want stability in, you know, their working agreements, so too do some of the administrators. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that in this whole fiscal cycle, okay, beginning even 2 years ago, it's always been the administrators who came forward first with the offering, okay, offering to the board salary freeze or very correct. Minimal increase. And would you
correct? No, it's been a situation that mm-hmm. What's happened in Madison's come on very fast and in a very short time period, and I think the board is shared with everyone that we're expecting to treat everyone the same. And it's taken, it's the contracts are in place, and so we're hoping that they'll bring to us an agreement that we'll do much like we did with our staff contracts, and be able to incorporate in the benefits of retirement contributions and insurance premiums, and
yeah.
So we'll have everybody on the same page. But
yeah.
That's something that we're hoping that they bring to us.
Yeah, and Mike, in the fairness of open disclosure, I want to share with you, because I think I've always been a stand-up guy, that I misspoke in FIA bargain negotiations, stating clearly that the administrators would indeed share.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like the FIA bargaining people agreeing to an agreement before they got ratification.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I certainly wanted to open disclose, that I didn't have. It wasn't my place to speak for all mm-hmm. the administrators at that point. And I did that, and I shouldn't have. And I apologize to my fellow administrators for doing that. Now, that said, I think in this climate, you know, I do think, as Mr. Johnson said, there's an expectation of shared sacrifice,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I think they understand that too. And,
sure,
it's just you know, since this bill has come into play, it's been a pretty interesting time.
Yeah, interesting is a good word. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
interesting
ahead,
is a good word.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and they you know, the administrators, they have the same challenge, you know, carrying out Jim's and the board's directives. It's about working with your workers and being on the same page with them. And I think they recognize that there's a for them to lead. That's what they have to do. They have to role model and lead, no different than the workers are doing. So, the law, you know, is kind of snuck up on everyone very fast, because it just, you know, it's coming that fast. And I expect that we'll get this done, and that the public doesn't need to be concerned about the fact that we're treating different people differently. We're treating all people similarly.
Yeah, I think, you know, like they mentioned, one of the things that I think is difficult for the public, or even some of the employees, to wrap their head around, is that administrator contracts are governed by state statute. And unless the administrators are non-renewed prior to January 31st, then their contract rolls another two
right.
years.
Yeah.
But obviously, they would have had to have been non-renewed January 31st. This bill, the budget repair bill, mm-hmm. didn't even get dropped
yeah.
until February 11th.
Yeah.
So the contracts had just rolled as is, just like was expected with everybody else. You know, there'd be negotiations, but, you know, essentially 2 weeks after the contracts technically rolled under state statute, then we get the budget repair bill, and since then we've been running with our heads spinning trying to figure out the budget implications, and then working with our contracted units to get things done with them. And so I think it's just a matter of, now that all that stuff is done, and, you know, working with the administrators mm-hmm. to get the same thing. So
understandable, everybody's facing that. Let me ask you this. This was on the wire this morning. There's a public hearing tomorrow on a bill in which new charter schools will be created by a state board rather than school districts. This comes from Republican Senator Alberta Darling. It removes the enrollment limit for the online virtual schools. There's a similar bill in the Assembly. John Gee, or G, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, of the Wisconsin Association of Charter Schools, says the, let me put my glasses on, the some districts have created charter schools that don't provide the innovation they were meant to offer, and the bill will let charter schools realize their full potential for autonomy and flexibility. Now, that sounds like a press release to me. Dan Rossmiller of the State Association of School Boards, however, says they're against the bill. It would let political appointees in Madison decide if communities can have charter schools, and they could be approved even if a school board objects. Now, that doesn't sound like a press release.
No, I think most school districts and school board members would concur with Mr. Rossmiller's take. I think the underlying threat here is, once again, a loss of local control and governance, yeah. That you would be conceding to that. Now, in terms of charter schools, I think there is certainly an open-mindedness to look at ways that we can become more innovative. I mean, our Crossroads was a charter school, and we've got over 145 graduates who might have been dropouts, mm-hmm. had it not been. So, obviously, you know, charter schools are something that...
they appear to have a niche.
Yeah, they have a niche, and you'd want to look to some of them, those kinds of pathways. But
how could Madison possibly make that decision for the Fort Atkinson School
District? Well, this is just it. And anymore, I think what school boards, and I'll let Mr. Johnson speak to this, you know, have to wonder what is it that they still... you know, can control.
I think the challenge in legislating law is, while this might, in my mind, be targeted for certain areas, it gets carried out across the entire state. And I think that, you know, in the city of Fort Atkinson, it isn't necessarily intended for this situation or this location, but it certainly isn't something that would prevent anyone from coming in and starting up a school and doing it, and mm-hmm. someone else dictating that it's okay. It takes me back to my childhood, separate but equal, and it just sort of strikes me as wrong. You know, setting stuff up where you got other people in charge, and I don't know that you build a cohesive educational community. I think you create a divisive educational community.
And I think at a point in time when districts are experiencing, you know, severe reductions, you know, in their revenue, money, you know, an idea like this kind of rings hollow, you know, in terms of, well, okay, sounds innovative perhaps in its best light, mm-hmm. but look what you're doing to, you know, the infrastructure of programming and support.
Another one-size-fits-all mentality, but to me the most alarming thing is giving control, more control, taking control away from the school district and giving it to, who in government would make that decision? It doesn't say.
Well, I would need to research that more, Mike. I haven't seen the press release, but I think therein lies an issue with any number of new things is that sometimes they're half-baked, and, you know, mm-hmm. when you ask the question about
like Scott
control
said,
and governance, somebody, where would it come from?
Yeah, somebody's got a complaint in Roberta Darling's district, so she wants a law for the whole school. This happens a lot, too much.
Yeah.
Usually they don't make it to the end of the road, and we don't know about this one, but... I think there have to be Republicans out there who would object to the state taking over functions of local school districts. It's part of their platform, if I'm not mistaken, keeping control locally.
Yeah. And, you know, when it gets to even the thought about a charter school, I know having been in the planning processes of a couple of those kinds of initiatives, one of the things you're looking for is how will it sustain itself, you mm-hmm. know, short term, long term. Whether it be our Crossroads program or our JEDI program that we're in a consortium of schools with that relates to, you know, online learning. You really have to look into those things very thoroughly. And anyway, I'm always a little bit careful about any plan that just comes up all of a sudden, and I'm even more careful when it all of a sudden it looks like it's going to be mandated on you,
mm-hmm.
perhaps,
yeah.
and you don't have local control.
And local control is, I think, is important, because hopefully your people in your community are the people that are aware of what needs to be done. It's a matter of, you know, getting them the tools that they can utilize to accomplish what's needed. And who are they serving? Are they serving the students? Are they serving someone else's agenda? I'm of the belief that we're here to serve, prepare those students for their life.
Yeah, on a related topic, we had the Jefferson County Director of Services for the Elderly and Disabled. There's another, this one is in the governor's budget, but they would, instead of having county agents or benefit specialists deal with seniors and disabled people or whatever to get them the right programs. They want to move that to Madison too. And the most alarming to me is they would, the service would be contracted out, not entirely, but not even by state employees. What is their goal? I mean, if they, these people are going to be working with these people that need help, they're not surprisingly opposed to it here in the county. But there seems to be a lot that our governor wants to do that would take control away from local entities and give it to Madison, administered by people that work for for-profit companies, which is even more alarming.
Yeah. Well, you know, I rather than speculate a lot about that, Mike, I think the key piece is, in terms of our focus, is trying to figure out what is it in the school district of Fort Atkinson and its learning community that is really being impacted by this repair bill and, the way we will need to operate and function to sustain the quality programs and services we've had for traditions for so long. I'd like to think at some point, after some decisions are made, there's some time for reflection and stepping back and saying, wait a minute. And in terms of your example, is it somebody who's that distant from Madison who could best serve Jefferson County Human Services kinds of issues that you were speaking
to? Instead of sitting down with
or
someone,
in a school district like situation, is it really some legislators that really know better than the duly elected board members who are elected by the
mm-hmm.
citizens?
Yeah.
Who ought to be in the decision making
process.
Whom
the citizens feel are the best people to make these decisions
and
for.
And therein lies, I think, where there's strife.
Mm-hmm. In efficiencies, if they're thinking about gaining efficiencies, I don't know how you can serve 1,000 people, 200 miles away, who don't know who to contact or how to contact them or can get in touch with them. And the people at the other end who don't know how to get the information they need to make proper determinations, and the claim for benefit savings to me is that just simply by not delivering benefits? Is that the methodology for saving, or is it truly about delivering benefits and more efficiently delivering it? And I don't think the centralized model has ever proved itself to be as effective as the localized model.
Well, and it got a lot worse when they started putting in those telephone machines. It's 20 minutes before you talk to a living person.
Mm-hmm.
You push this button, push that button.
If you
eventually do get to a living person. We got to take a break. We're just a little late on this break.
Right.
Hold on, everyone. You're listening to Morning Magazine. We're going to pause for a quick update on the weather. This forecast brought to you by the Velveteen Rabbit Bookshop and Guest House in downtown Fort Atkinson. You can go online at velveteenrabbitbookshop.com for details. Cloudy, showers, storms likely today, a high of 43. Cloudy tonight, a chance for more showers or storms, down to 36. Cloudy tomorrow, a chance for more rain, this time mixing with snow. Might even see an inch of snow before it's all over, a high of 43 degrees. 34 degrees right now at WFAW.
This spring edition of the Kids' Next List of Recommendations is now available at the Velveteen Rabbit Bookshop. Get yours today. It's full of book titles for kids from ages 4 to teen. Enjoy an early spring escape at the Velveteen Rabbit Guest House featuring modern accommodations in a classic Victorian setting close to downtown Fort Atkinson. Book online today at velveteenrabbitbookshop.com.
Throughout history, few were thought to be as powerful and effective at conquering the enemy than the legendary Knights of the Kingdom. The inspiration behind an equally powerful and effective new herbicide from DuPont. Introducing new DuPont Realm Q post-emergence herbicide for corn. Realm Q features multiple modes of action and contact plus residual control, giving you a stronger ally in your battle against the most difficult broadleaf weeds, even glyphosate-resistant ones. Water hemp, lamb's quarters, and grasses don't stand a chance. Plus, Realm Q has a built-in safener that gives you more control under more conditions across more hybrids. The Knights of the Kingdom earned their legendary status for conquering the enemy. Expect nothing less from Realm Q. Count on Realm Q herbicide for weed-conquering force.
Always read and follow label directions. Realm Q is not registered in all states. Ask your DuPont retailer for details and availability.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. Michael Klisch from the Fort Atkinson School District. We're talking to the president of the school board, Scott Johnson, the school superintendent, Dr. James Fitzpatrick, and the business manager, Jason Demerth, and we're talking about a lot of stuff. You got a referendum coming up.
Yes, thanks, Mike. In fact, it's 2 weeks from today, April 5th.
On Election Day.
It's on Election Day, and we have, it's also a board election. We have two candidates who are running that are uncontested, Roger Toman, who's on the board and incumbent, and Kristen Wallace, who would be a newcomer to the board.
Oh, I think she'd be a nice addition.
Yeah, I think so, too, and she has children in the school district, mm-hmm. and... So I think...
she's a fan of my morning show.
Yeah, yeah.
At least she's listening to us.
Yeah. So anyway, as we get close to that time, we've been out and around trying to share our message at any forums that we could be at or any service groups. And also we've tried to really enlighten the parents. And mm-hmm. we would like to ask people if they want to find out a little more about the referendum, in addition to listening to this show, would be to get to our website, www.fortschools.org. And right in the middle of the page, it talks about the referendum. And I think it's pretty easy to explain.
Another thing about the candidates, too, they will both, I believe, be participating in the candidates' forum.
Yes.
March 29th.
Yes.
At the new library.
At the new library.
The new conference room there.
Yeah, and I'm delighted that that's going to be a nice meeting place for
people. I think
people.
So, yeah. We needed a room like that. We don't have a Perner building like Jefferson's got.
I think, well, Mike, there's no question we need the support of the citizens on this referendum. What we're asking for is a continuation of the same level of support that we received in April of 2006. And that will allow us to keep programs and services at the same level. Now, that said, given the repair bill, even with the help of the referendum, we know that by June, we need to bring to the board about $572,000 in reductions, which are a result of the repair bill impact in the school district of Fort Atkinson, where the expense savings from contributions by employees to health insurance premiums and pensions does not offset the $1.5 million reduction we have. It leaves us with a $572,000 gap. And actually, what we would need, okay, and Jason could probably explain this better, is to function next year. We're going to need about $1.2 million. And the $694,000 referendum question, which would be a continuation, would help us get at that, plus the reduction of the over $570,000.
Right. I knew we'd get to you eventually, Jason.
Like he said, the disparity between the budget repair bill and the expense savings there and what we're expected to get cut in state aid and revenue from the state in the upcoming budget, the difference is $572,000, which we have to make up. If the referendum were not to pass, then we'd be looking at $1.2 million for next year.
You're not just looking to make up for lost revenue. This is in addition to some pretty severe.
Right. We had the task force last spring work for 4 months on what to do when the current referendum expires this June, and they told us that, you know, all the community can afford is just to keep it at the same level, and we're only going to go out 3 years this time instead of five. To get us through the next 3 years, and we're going to keep it at the $694,000 per year, which is what the task force recommended. And that was what was decided last year, and since then we've been making reductions in efficiencies to be able to stretch it to 3 years. And then all of a sudden in the last month, you know, we got another gap of $572,000 dropped on us from the state that we have to make up. And so in the next month or two, we'll be working with the board to find that money on top of what we already did last year to make this stretch 3 years. So it's not, definitely not without sacrifice in the district, but we're hoping to basically maintain what we have in the district for this 3 years and get us past what, you know, this biennial budget and what it's doing to the district.
Quick question for you, Scott, first. Why would anybody want to be on a school board?
Because it's fun.
It is fun. Apparently, you missed Jason's little thing here.
No. I mean, it's the best place to be. I mean, you got people quizzing you about all kinds of good stuff. It's about service.
Yeah.
And it's about doing right for your community and doing right for your young people. There's a lot of work and there's a lot of tough decisions that are made. The referendum is before the two bills that came out of the state legislature here in February and March. It was, you know, the task force had worked on it long and hard, and they said, you know, here, live within your means, make the cuts, make the reductions you need to do, but, you know, we'll keep it the same as we've done in the last 5 years at 694. And, you know, that was looking really, it was looking like that was going to be a good piece of work to get that done. And the revenue bill comes out after the repair bill, everybody's upset with the repair bill, and in the revenue bill, Fort Atkinson loses just over $1.5 million. The repair bill, which is supposed to cure the ails of the revenue bill, it only makes up $900,000 of that. So we're short that $672,600,000. Mm-hmm. That's in addition to what we were already short, the $694,000. So we're short about $1.25 million, $1.3 million. If we don't pass the referendum, that's what we're short. Another way of looking at it is today we're short. You got to be understanding it's a Scandinavian explanation, so they got to see the hand movements and everything. Today we're short $2.2 million. The repair bill gives us back about $900,000 of that. So we're short $1.2, $1.3 million if the referendum doesn't fail, it doesn't pass. So if the referendum passes, we cover a little bit half of what we're short. We still have to make reductions, $500,000-$600,000. And that's why the things that transpired last week with those contracts, those were very important to us because we settled our staffing concerns and we're starting to allow them to settle down and know that they've got a good, solid year in front of them where things are taken care of, and it addresses a little bit of these in little steps. This $500,000-$600,000 we have to gain, we still have our work cut out to find those other $500,000-$600,000. And if the referendum fails, then we have to find $1.2-$1.3 million of reductions. A major difference. The referendum just covers over half of our shortage.
Yeah, I think the key piece too is we have a kind of an opportunity here, Mike, in that, as Scott just said, if the referendum were to fail between now and the opening of school next year, we'd have to find $1.2 million. But looking down the road even further, the $694,000 that we're asking for now, there isn't a November regular election. And if we had to come back a year ago, a year ahead next April, this $694,000 that we're asking for now would probably be a number that would have to be almost quadrupled. And the impact on taxes would be far greater. And I think what we're looking at is that we have an opportunity, if this passes next April 5th, to be able to say in the toughest economic times this country's had in a long time, from April of 2006 through April of 2014, we kept the support for schools at the same level while maintaining programs and services.
A rather remarkable achievement.
I think it would be, and I think it's testament to not only the support of the communities had for education, but for the collaborative efforts and the hard work of teachers, administrators, and the board, and trying to really... I think the key message point I'd like to say, Mike, is we're trying to really get out ahead of this. And that was a comment that Dean Johnson, the president of NASCO, mentioned in task force, that, you know, the one thing about Fort Atkinson is they try to get out ahead of things. And that's what we're trying to do, knowing full well that we have a lot of shared sacrifice that we have to make, too. And that, I can't stress enough, is something that just like families, just like businesses, we have to do too. And I think that message has resonated among our all of our internal stakeholders. So,
the work that the school boards have done over the last 10, 11, 12 years have been outstanding. The when I got on the board, you know, there was a real concern about how much were we going to need to exceed the revenue cap by to keep all of our services and all of our programming in place. And the boards over the years have done outstanding work. In 12 years, we've run one referendum to exceed the caps by $694,000. This school district has been, the fiduciary responsibility of the school board and the stewardship of it's been outstanding. We've expected, and our staff has delivered the efficiencies. We've done a lot of innovative things with geothermal and various energies to save us a lot of dollars that we've been able to put into our classrooms instead of paying utilities. And I think it just speaks well of you know, what the school and the board and the staff have all done and what this community's been supportive. And I'd hope that the community would still be prepared to just continue, not doing any more of a tax increase, but continue the level of support that we've had. And let us we'll find the other efficiencies.
We need to take a break again. Okay. Sorry, guys. Hold that thought. You're listening to Morning Magazine. We have to stop for the news in a few messages. Stay tuned.
It's time now for the Jefferson County Humane Society's Pet of the Week.
Today's Pet of the Week is Buddy, who lost his home back in January. He'd prefer to be the only canine member of the family, but has lived with cats and dogs, and he loves a good long walk, and will even carry one of his toys with him for the trip. He enjoys his one-on-one time with lots of belly rubs. This handsome 6-year-old Springer Spaniel mix needs regular exercise. Buddy has been neutered, vaccinated, tested for heartworm, and microchipped. Come visit Buddy anytime Monday through Saturday between 1 and 6 p.m. Don't forget, the Spring Rabies Clinic is this Saturday, March 19th, from 1 to 3 p.m. And that's at the fairgrounds. Call the shelter for details.
The Jefferson County Humane Society's Pet of the Week has been brought to you today by House Brothers of Fort Atkinson. Look to House Brothers for the highest quality in excavation work and crushed limestone. Call 563-8473 for details today.
Play ball!
In the big game of life, it's not unusual to be thrown a few curveballs. But when you're prepared with the right insurance policy, you can weather those rainouts, injured players, and losses. Stroop Insurance, your Helenville Mutual Insurance agent in Fort Atkinson, is here to back your team up with the insurance you need. From home and auto liability to farm, crop hail, or multi-peril crop insurance and more. Call Bill Stroop at Stroop Insurance today for a no-obligation quote at 563-4636. Ah, spring. It's finally warm enough to park the car in the driveway for a good cleaning. But wait a minute. Is that a scratch in your door?
Oh.
And remember when you took that corner too fast and slid into that snowbank? Well, it left a big old crack in your bumper.
Ah.
Hey, don't sweat it. Bring your car to Butch's Highlight Auto Body. Butch's can make those dents and scratches disappear. If winter left its mark on your vehicle, call 563-3890 and bring it to Butch's Highlight Auto Body in Fort Atkinson.
Fort Atkinson's nonprofit organizations promote community projects and activities. This Saturday, March 26th, discover what these groups have to offer during the Fort Atkinson Nonprofit Awareness and Fundraiser Day. From 9 o'clock till 3 p.m., look for participating nonprofits set up at locations throughout Fort Atkinson and talk with volunteers with the Fort Atkinson Arts Council, Area Senior Center, Community Band, Swim Team, the Horde Museum, and many more. Listings and maps will be available at Walgreens and the Daily Jefferson County Union starting this Thursday.
Confused about equine vaccination and disease prevention? Your veterinarian is the most knowledgeable when it comes to protecting your horse. Viterra Gold, a new equine vaccine, offers maximum protection in one vaccine. It protects against equine influenza, two types of equine herpes, eastern and western sleeping sickness, tetanus, and West Nile virus. And your horse will have assured protection when administered by your veterinarian. So talk to the expert when it comes to your horse's health. Talk to your veterinarian about Viterra Gold.
Good morning. This is Michael Klisch. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates are accusing each other of not being able to act independently, with the court expected to take on a case on the governor's plan to curb collective bargaining rights for public workers. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser said during the debate last night that his challenger, Assistant Attorney General Joanne Klumpenberg, is repeating falsehoods about him and implying he'd favor Governor Scott Walker in any dispute over the budget. Klumpenberg's supporters, however, point to a December news release in which Prosser's campaign manager said the campaign would, quote, act as a common sense complement to both the new administration and the legislature, unquote. Prosser says he didn't see the release before it went out. The State Justice Department, meanwhile, has filed a request to appeal the emergency order blocking the state's contentious new collective bargaining law. Governor Scott Walker was correct when he said most of his emails supported his bill to virtually end collective bargaining for most public employee unions. The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism analyzed 1,900 of the 50,000 emails Walker got in the week he unveiled his plan. 62% favored Walker's plan, 32% opposed. But among Wisconsinites who emailed the governor, it was just 55% in favor and 42% opposed. Governor Walker is proposing the creation of three more new enterprise zones to help foster business development. There are 9 zones under contract, 3 more in various stages of discussion, and the governor is proposing 3 more. This is Michael Klisch.
Here's a southern Wisconsin weather eye forecast. That skies remain cloudy throughout the midday and this afternoon. We'll still see some periods of rain, along with a few storms developing at times today, with high temperatures around 43. East winds stay at 15 to 25. We'll see scattered showers and some storms tonight as well, with a low at 36, with an east wind at 10 to 20. Highs then reach the low 40s Wednesday, as rain showers will mix over with snow at times as we head through the day, with a variable wind around 10 to 20. We'll then see a chance for snow showers Wednesday night with a low at 23. I'm Paul Trombley on 940 WFAW.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. Michael Klisch, the president of the Fort Atkinson School Board, Scott Johnson, the superintendent, Jim Fitzpatrick, the business manager, Jason Demarath. What were we going to next?
Well, I think, Mike, again, a reminder to our citizens that April 5th, we have an opportunity to continue at the same level of support with a yes vote, support for our school that would not raise the level of support, but allow us to be able to continue and maintain the programs and services that we've had. And I think where we left off is Scott had mentioned how this board had tried to be out ahead of things and trying to be proactive with any number of initiatives that hopefully wouldn't encumber future boards as well. And I go back to April of 2006, too, because there was a task force then that several of the members on this past task force in last spring were on also. And one of the key pieces they talked to us about was raising revenues. And one of the things we have done, as Scott alluded to, was the green energy initiatives we've done with geothermal, solar energy, photovoltaic, and now getting into the wind turbine pieces. Also, good initiatives that would hopefully free us from fossil fuel dependency. I would credit Scott as being the leader on the board who's really kind of got us centered in those places. But one of the things, too, that is so important to us is that we've been able to maintain, good programs and services. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to swallow for people when you lose those things, because in a school arena that we're in, where there is choice, people can go elsewhere. And
it's an excellent point.
Yes. Yeah. And for us, it's been important that we serve our resident students and our resident citizens, and that in a comprehensive programming where you have AP classes, you have vocational classes, you have solid reading programs, you have solid commitment to literacy and mathematics and the basics and everything that we've had, along with a rich co-curricular program, those are things people desire for their kids. And any number of times we're on the agenda of these corporations who are trying to recruit people and families to work in their firms. And, they want to know that there's good programs. And what we don't ever want to get to is the tipping point where people would say, you know what, we either want to go elsewhere because Fort doesn't have programs, or that Fort isn't as excellent as it once was. We have had flat or declining enrollment. And one of the things that's helped us through some of the fiscal challenges we've had is that typically we receive about $600,000 to $700,000 above the revenue cap for open enrolled students that come into Fort Atkinson. And I think that's a credit to the community for maintaining strong programs.
Absolutely. The when you look at open enrollment and the number of students that are making use of our offerings and our co-curriculars, it's a response, it's a public affirmation of the fact that we are offering very outstanding academic programming, and we do have attractive co-curriculars and programming in addition to the core that brings students to us. And those dollars do help us meet those budgetary requirements without incurring extra costs. It's about making a couple of class seats open here and a couple of class seats are open there, and we have students that are coming from the outside to us. And it just, I think when the public has done as well, in supporting the schools and the board and staff has done as well in providing for our immediate children, when you have outsiders that say, yeah, you're doing it really right, we want to be part of it, we enjoy the opportunity of bringing our child to you to let you do it for them. It just speaks well of what we've done and how we've put it together. We don't wish to take that apart. We're wanting to keep our programming strong for our locals. It's beneficial for our employers. It's beneficial for our community that we have those local programs in place that our local people and students can get a hold of.
Mike, the schools, there's no question, in a vibrant community, schools have to be a player. And they have to be strong and they have to be good. And we have an opportunity to maintain that on April 5th. We feel like it's an opportunity that we don't want to lose, given the fact that if we weren't successful, what we would have to ask would have to be much greater next April, not to mention the desecration that would occur to our district, given the reductions and cuts that we would have to make. And I guess, you know, as the superintendent of this school district, there's nothing that would haunt me worse than to think this school district could be a shadow of what it once was. And for that reason, you know, we're really hoping the community will come through and help us out.
Well, Jim, I'm a fiscal conservative, but I'll do anything I can to help our kids and give our kids an opportunity. And I know we've had plenty of good discussions over the years about how we're going to make ends meet and still serve our purposes. And I think the way our test scores have been going, and again, the school choice children have been coming to us, are all testimonies of the fact that we've been doing it well. And we've been doing it well with containing our budget at the same time and being very respectful of our community and our taxpayers. And again, what we're asking for in this referendum is simply to continue what we've already been provided in the past, and we'll make the other reductions that will still allow us to keep our programming in place.
At this point, let's take another break.
Okay. Thanks.
Keep in mind, the first half hour, we took hardly any. That's why we're doing them all now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's the WFAW Community Calendar.
Potatoes get star treatment April 2nd at Sustain Jefferson's Organic Gardening Workshops and Potato Fair. 10 workshops for beginners and advanced gardeners alike will be held, ranging from Organic Gardening 101 to apple tree grafting and one all about growing potatoes. To register, see a full description of workshops, and get directions to the Cupola Barn Farm, go to sustainjefferson.org or call 920-261-6565. Ann Sue Prosser is battling cancer for a second time. She won her battle with breast cancer in 2007, only to have been diagnosed with a rare form this past January. The hope is to raise enough money to cover day-to-day and medical expenses during her recovery. Come to St. John the Baptist in Jefferson for a great meal, fun, and fellowship Sunday, April 3rd. For more information, call 608-921-1258.
The WFAW Community Calendar is also online at 940WFAW.com.
The month of March is just madness at the Belmont Bar and Grill of Fort Atkinson. Take in NASCAR races every Sunday on the Belmont's widescreen TVs. Saturdays from 2 until 6, get into the Euchre tournaments. Watch college basketball's best teams compete for the national title as March Madness takes center stage. It's the home of your favorite charcoal grilled sandwiches, Friday fish fries, and great sports action on the huge widescreen TVs at Belmont Bar and Grill, East Sherman Avenue, Fort Atkinson. Name the mascot at Sponge Spa, Car Wash, and Dog Wash in Janesville, and you could win a year's worth of free car washes. Now through March 31st, visit their website at spongespacarwash.com and click on the Name Our Mascot button to enter. Looking for a great gift idea for the guy or gal on the go? Purchase a monthly pass for as little as $19.99 per month. They can wash their car up to once a day. It's fast, easy, and affordable at the new Sponge Spa Car Wash and Dog Wash on Milton Avenue next to Applebee's in Janesville. Life is busy, so it's understandable that right now, right at this moment, comparing insurance policies isn't on the top of your things to do list. But next time you get your insurance bill in the mail and you're not even sure what it's for and why the rates went up again, that's when you pick up the phone and call Bill Stroop Insurance, your Helenville Mutual Insurance agent in Fort Atkinson. Stroop Insurance specializes in home, auto liability, farm, crop hail insurance, and multi-peril crop insurance. Keep the number handy, 563-4636 for Stroop Insurance in Fort Atkinson.
Find out the latest in high school, collegiate, and professional sports on Sportsline every Saturday morning at 8:15 on 940 WFAW. Join Shane Sparks along with his weekly guests as they review the scores and preview the big matchups. Plus, your calls are always welcome. It's Sportsline every Saturday morning at 8:15 on Jefferson County's News and Talk, 940 WFAW.
And welcome back to Morning Magazine. Michael Klisch, and again, from the Fort Atkinson School District. I'll introduce you guys one last time. We've got the president of the school board, Scott Johnson, the superintendent, Dr. James Fitzpatrick, and the business manager, Jason Demarath. But now I was going to add something to his title, but I better not. It's sort of the lamentable position of...
We call him the heat taker.
Well, it's a tough job to be in for anybody right now. these are times that had to happen. I mean, we've been a combination of refusing to raise taxes and cut spending nationally, you know, in Washington, and you know, we had a great recession. Just a lot of things landed at once, and tough decisions have got to be made, and they're being made, and some of them might be wrong. Other ones could be made instead of the ones that are being made. There's going to be a lot of discussion, and people like you, Jason, are going to have to work magic.
Yeah, magic to say the least, I guess.
But so good luck with that.
Thank you.
Take a trip to Vegas, maybe. See how they do it on stage. Might be a help. Looks like they're playing our song in the background. Once again, though, very important to the district is this referendum, which is a continuation of the existing referendum, and you've got to have that.
Yes, it's a continuation, again, for 3 years, not an increase, but a continuation of the same level of support that would then get us from through 2014. And again, what I'd like to stress is that that would help us immensely in maintaining the quality programs and services. And from 2006 to 2014, we'll have made it.
Thank you all.